Hello, this is Tim Wright from St John's Church in Birkdale, and this is the sermon from Sunday the 9th of July. And today we are continuing in our study of the book of Jude, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 to 18 this morning. So thank you for joining us to listen to this. So far we've been introduced to Jude in our previous talks, and the central message of this very short New Testament book, it's the next to the last book in the Bible. We learned that Jude was the half-brother of Jesus, and that he intended in this letter to write encouragement to other believers about the faith and the salvation that they shared. But instead, he'd felt compelled to send them an early warning that there was a real danger that false teaching was infiltrating the church. And he was reminding them that they had to hold to the truths of the Bible and not to be deceived or distracted. And then last week, Roy warned us against the consequences of rebelling against God's word, and looked at three brief examples of Cain, who killed his brother out of jealousy. We looked at Balaam, who deceived people for money due to his greed, and Korah, who rebelled against God's divinely appointed leaders, wanting power only for himself. And those were stories that illustrate attitudes that can be typical of false teaching. Attitudes of pride, selfishness, jealousy, greed, lust for power, and a total disregard for God's will. In my talk a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned some examples of scams that today can mislead people and can catch us out. And only this week, Martin Lewis, the money-saving expert from the TV, has exposed what's called a deep fake video. A video that's been created that looks like him, it sounds like him, and it even has mannerisms like him. But it's not him. And anyone clicking the link on that video would be opening themselves up to being a victim of the scam. The scams are getting worse. They've got worse in the last 2 weeks. And this morning, I want to focus on two themes from Jude 12 to 18. First of all, we're going to look at how Jude uses five different examples, five natural phenomena, actually, to help us understand the impact that false teachers can have on our churches. And then we're going to have a very quick look at the last four verses of the passage this morning and see that false teaching is something that's been there in the past. It's something that's here now in the present, and something that will continue to be a feature of the future. So let's just read Jude 12 to 18. These people are hidden reeves at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them, all of the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness, and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their ungodly desires. The central theme of the book of Jude is to watch out for false teachers and to make sure that we defend the faith. I challenged us a fortnight ago to ask ourselves the question, who is going to defend the faith? And the answer was that it's us. We must defend the faith. Here in our corner of Birkdale, it's our responsibility to stand up for the undistorted teaching of the Bible. If you read the St. John's website or read our parish profile or read our magazine, The Word, you will know that our purpose here at St. John's is to be God-centered, relationship-driven, and life-transforming. We recognise that to do as Jude is telling us to look out for false teaching and to defend the faith, then we must be God-centered. And that means we have to build our knowledge of the Bible so that we can defend the faith. And in verses 12 and 13, Jude is demonstrating to us how this false teaching manifests itself. And he's illustrating the extent of the danger that it presents. And Jude does this five times in the space of two verses, using five different analogies. Now, you might think that one analogy would be sufficient, or maybe at a push, two would be enough. So the fact that Jude is using five suggests that he felt it was so important that we really understood, that we could really hear and get under the skin of what it is that we're facing into. So let's just have a very quick look at these five different examples. The first example is that false teachers are like hidden reefs. Verse 12 tells us, these people are hidden reefs at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, but shepherds who feed only on themselves. If you have a look at, in the dictionary, the definition of a reef is a ridge of jagged rock, coral or sand just above or below the surface of the sea. If the reef is just above the surface of the sea, so it can be easily spotted. However, Jude here is referring to them as hidden reefs, hidden because they were just below the surface of the sea and couldn't be spotted. The water might look inviting, the sailing might be looking smooth, but just under the surface there is danger that, if not avoided, can rip open the hull of a ship and sink it. Danger that can rip us apart. Jude said that these false teachers are hidden reefs at your love feasts. In the early church, these feasts were associated with communion. And Jude is telling us that they were not only participating in these feasts, but they were teaching at these feasts and then would eat with the believers without fear. Instead of caring for others, which was one of the hallmarks of the love feasts, Jude noted that these false teachers were shepherds feeding themselves, gorging on the food themselves, not looking after their flock as they should have been doing, but feeding themselves. A fortnight ago, I mentioned some of the TV evangelists, particularly from America, who are without doubt false teachers. One of them, I'm not going to name him, has a net worth of over $300 million, lives in a £6 million mansion, has an aircraft hangar worth $17 million for his private jets, including a Gulfstream jet, and many, many luxury cars. Many of these evangelists have outrageously expensive homes and lifestyles, far beyond anything that's even deemed to be appropriate. And why? Because they are shepherds feeding themselves. They are like the hidden reefs. Secondly, false teachers are like waterless clouds. Jude said, they are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Well, a cloud is essentially a collection of water, and it brings the hope of rain. We saw that yesterday with the thunder and lightning. So when Jude is saying that these false teachers are like waterless clouds, he was saying really that they are a contradiction in terms. You can't have a waterless cloud, because a cloud, by definition, is full of water. And just as clouds bring the promise of refreshment to dry and parched ground, so faithful teachers should bring the promise of God's refreshment to dry and parched souls. But false teachers, just like waterless clouds, do the exact opposite. They just do not deliver. Third, false teachers are like fruitless autumn trees. Verse 12 carries on and tells us that they are like autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. Now, Sally is the one with green fingers in our house, but the little bit that I do know is that spring is normally the time when seeds are sown and blossoms begin to sprout and the crops and the fruit grow throughout the summer. And then when the autumn arrives, the crops and the fruit are harvested. And so if there are still fruitless trees in late autumn, The farmer, the grower, has experienced a failed harvest for that year, and he must wait another year before harvest may then be gathered. And Jude is comparing false teachers to fruitless trees in late autumn. What he meant was, is that they were completely unproductive. There was no spiritual fruit of any kind. There was no evidence of people growing in their faith or developing their discipleship. And when he said that they were twice dead, he meant that first, they were not producing any spiritual fruit. And so secondly, they may as well be uprooted. And this Bible is so consistent. And this, we point ourselves back to Matthew 15, verse 13, where Jesus said of the Pharisees, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up." False teachers then are like fruitless autumn trees who produce no spiritual fruit either in themselves or in others. The fourth analogy, the fourth example, is that false teachers are like wild sea waves, foaming up their shame, verse 13 tells us. And the Bible often uses the sea as a symbol for those people who do not yet know God. Isaiah 57 says, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." After a storm, a beach is often littered with all kinds of debris that gets thrown onto the shore, but none of it useful or beneficial. And this is the graphic picture of what teachers, false teachers, produce by their false teaching. With all of their empty talk and self-serving activity, they are like wild waves of the sea. As one commentator put it as I was researching this, he says their disgraceful attitudes and actions froth up to display all forms of heresy, deception, immorality, irreverence, and insubordination. And you know, it's so sad to share this next bit, but you know, only this week we have yet another example from within our own Anglican community of leadership within our Anglican community of deception and irreverence. The current Archbishop of York telling General Synod, the organising structure of the Church of England, that the use of the words "Our Father" in the Lord's Prayer may be problematic. In other words, he's saying that the word of the Bible is problematic. How on earth can that be a good example of defending the faith? It is simply undermining it. That's the problematic bit. But within our own Anglican community. And the final example that Jude uses is false teachers like wandering stars. Verse 13 later on says they are like wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. False teachers often appear for a short time on the stage of Christianity, like a star we might look up to on a clear night. They promise enduring spiritual light and direction, but in the end deliver nothing but an erratic, aimless, worthless flash. There is a church leader that was very active when Sally and I were leading a youth group about 25, 30 years ago. He produced really sound videos and books, and he had a way of explaining the Bible and the gospel in a really relevant way, and we used his material all the time. And today, he is just as active, but his teaching has moved so far away from the biblical truth and Bible principles that he's misleading anyone who listens to him. His star was bright, but only for a short time. So five analogies, five descriptions of how false teachers can impact us. And then in verses 14 to 18 of Jude, we then go briefly onto the second theme of today's talk. And that theme is that these false teachers have been around in the past. They're around today and will exist in the future. There's nothing new here. Verse 14 tells us that in the Old Testament, Enoch, who was a seventh generation descendant from Adam, talked about false teachers and that the day was coming when God would bring judgment upon them. The truth is, they won't just get away with it. They will be judged. And that means, as it says in the end of verse 13, that blackest darkness has been reserved forever. It's pretty clear what that's referring to, isn't it? But note that back in the days of Genesis and the days of Enoch, false teaching was around. We also know that false teaching is around today. Jude was warning those in the first century, and the warning is just as relevant now. They're described in the text as grumblers, complainers, and people who brag loudly about themselves whilst flattering other people to get what they want. They are seeking their own way, and they are not submitting to the way and the purpose of God. But the point as well is that false teachers will be a part of the future. Verse 18 tells us that in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. It's there in black and white that we should expect false teaching to increase as we get closer to the return of Jesus. The book of Revelation, as Roy reminded us last week, tells us that we are to expect apostasy, that is, a falling away from faith. Expect apostasy? We are seeing apostasy. That will be characterized, is characterized by false teachers who will turn people away from God. And the book of Revelation also tells us to expect the ultimate deceiver, the Antichrist, someone who will position themselves in place of Christ. And this person will deceive many. But somebody who will position themselves as Christ, only a few years ago, the idea that this could happen might have sounded hard to understand. But remember the Martin Lewis deep fake video that I talked about at the beginning of this talk. The development of technology and the development of artificial intelligence makes it so much easier for us to see how the claims of Revelation may well materialise and how easy it might be for people to be deceived. We today are closer to the last days than Jude was. And so it's even more vital for us to be on our guard and to defend the faith. We are in a battle for people's eternities, whether they end up in heaven or in hell. And we have to be the truth that stands up to the lies. We must be the light and salt that the Bible tells us we need to be. And for us here in St. John's, we must all live and breathe our purpose. We have to be God-centered, knowing our Bible, standing up to the truth. We have to be relationship driven, developing our relationships with God, with each other and with the people in our community. And we have to be a place where lives are transformed, a place where people are introduced to Jesus, a place where people commit their lives to him, and a place where people grow and develop in their faith. That is our job here at St. John's. To defend the faith, to defend the gospel. And no matter what the deceivers try and tell us, the truth is that there is only one way to salvation, through the faith in Jesus and what he did in the cross. No one comes to the Father except through him. We said it 2 weeks ago, I'll say it again. The gospel message is as simple as ABC. We have to accept that we're sinners and that we've fallen short of the standards of God. Every single one of us. Doesn't matter who we are. If we're not Jesus, we're sinners. B, we have to believe in our heart that to take away the sin of the world, Jesus died on the cross for our sin and that God raised him from the dead. And C, call upon the name of Jesus and trust him as Lord of your life. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the faith we have to defend. And that's our job here in our part of Birkdale to do exactly that. Amen.